Okay, so let's start by listening to the sound of the bell. Okay, so today the fifth day, last day of our retreat, and then this is the last Dhamma talk, you know. So, but okay, please. Okay, so anyway, thank you for joining us for this retreat. As I said, I started to come to India since 2007, but because I got invitation from Dzogchen Khyentse Rinpoche, you know, I met him early in 2007. So since then, I came to Deer Park to lead some retreats every year. Then later, my Sangha member, Japanese Sangha member, joined me. And then, not only Deer Park, we went to Mumbai and Pune. And in Pune area, there are some retreat centers, so we did also retreats over there, you know. But unfortunately, as you know, because of COVID-19, 2020, 21, 22, almost same everywhere, you know. Now we couldn't do anything, especially going abroad, you know. So I didn't do any retreat outside of Japan. And then, this year, again, I was invited by Suruchi and Michelle, you know. And then, finally, this retreat, you know, became real. So we are so happy to come to India. So from this year, I hope we will continue this retreat at least once a year, you know, in the Buddhapada. And I found September is very good time, you know. So we always went to Deer Park in November, but November it's already very cold, you know. Then we need a lot of clothing, you know. So we didn't bring, you know, clothing so much, you know. So suitcase is empty, you know, so we can bring many souvenirs, you know, like that. So anyway, you know, in Japan, because we couldn't do so much in Japan neither, so I stayed mainly in my temple in Kamakura, and only once in a while I went to somewhere else in Japan. We are planning to establish a new center in Japan, in the remote area, in the middle of mountains, you know, like when you came to Buddhapada, after you left Bagdogla Airport, maybe in 1 hour like that, you enter into a very deep forest, right? Yeah. So then we are so excited because such a wonderful forest is exactly the same as our forest in which we are going to establish our new center, you know. So like that. But a big difference is in Japan, in our area, it snows a lot. Maybe beyond your imagination. two meters, 3 meters, like something like that. Yeah. And that's why to build a very warm house is essential, you know. Otherwise, we just freeze, you know, and we couldn't stay in the winter, you know. So that's why we are now trying to build a new center, but good insulation and good heating system, you know. So we finished almost like a fundraising, 90%. Then now I'm meeting a construction company people, and then final arrangement, you know. Then we do a little bit this fall, and then but 3-4 months it's a snow, so we cannot do anything construction, nothing, you know. So then maybe snow melts next year spring, we can really start our construction like that. So until then, lots of preparation, you know, like that. So already some of you asked me, you know, can we go there? Of course, you are welcome, most welcome, you know. It's extremely like a remote place. But because we chose that place because we had been always doing a retreat in same village, you know. Maybe you remember one lady came with us, and that lady is running a small hostel, you know. So in this hostel, we have been doing retreat every year, you know. Because of this reason, we chose that area, you know. So it's totally different from Tokyo area, you know. So it's so remote, rural, and people are very simple and very kind. And of course, nature, you know. So maybe next summer we can finish, we can accomplish it, you know. Then, of course, everyone is welcome, you know. Yeah. Yes, maybe we can do some kind of special retreat for English-speaking people, you know, like that. Okay, like this. So, in this retreat, we have been discussing about two kinds of dimensions. Like, as I said, dimension A and dimension X. And I didn't want to give any name to this dimension X, even though many teachers gave so many words, so many names to this. But slightly, nuance is very slightly different like that. Like some teacher just simply calls it just awareness, you know? Thinking and awareness. It's good because you know thinking, right? But awareness is totally different from thinking, you know? Then this awareness exists in another dimension. This is the whole point. Because, yes, spiritual teachers very often use the word awareness. But not so clear. Seems like, thinking is here and awareness here or something like that. You know? So we don't know the difference between thinking and awareness, you know? So, then people think, oh, yeah, this is thinking, you know? So then we improve this thinking, then it becomes awareness, you know? But actually not like that, not like that. Please understand. This is a very crucial point. You know? Yes, yes. I know our thinking is very crazy, you know, and non-stopping, and always craving, always disliking, you know, like that. Then we just improve this one, then it becomes mindful awareness. Actually, no. It doesn't work like that. And you know that, you know? You know, you try to improve your thinking mind, right? Did it work? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know? Then maybe you blame yourself. You know, oh, I'm very bad practitioner, you know? You know? Then maybe you blame your teachers, you blame your center, you blame your friends, or like that, you know? Because nothing worked. You know? So, I think in this spiritual world, maybe we had very fundamental misunderstanding, you know, about these things. Because we didn't clearly say there are two dimensions. That's why people thought everything in just one dimension. Then in this dimension, there's a thinking and there is a awareness, you know. Then we try to improve the thinking. Then thinking will be awareness, mindful awareness. People thought so, you know. But it's not like that. It's not at all like that, you know. So that's why I'm saying, you know, like a totally different dimension, you know. And some people, some teachers, some good teachers, they themselves entered into this dimension for many reasons. You know, some teachers, he had a very hard time, you know. He had in the middle of war, and his friends, his colleague died very in a cruel way. And he, like that, he jumped into this area. You know, so over there, he felt absolute happiness. You know, absolute, also, love, compassion. Then, after that, he started to teach, you know, to the people who are suffering, you know, about some love, unconditional love, you know. And here also only present moment, so present moment, wonderful moment, like that, you know. But so his existence is just a shining. So people are attracted to him, and his teaching is so charming, you know. Because he didn't tell a lie, of course, you know. Of course not. He just simply describing this dimension, you know, with very simple words. But point is, not so many people couldn't go there. Why? You know? Or some teachers, no, he was so neurotic, no, so neurotic, you know. And he was so depressed. And then one day he said, I'm fed up with me, you know. I'm fed up with me, but then who is saying this? Then immediately he saw him from the distance. So here, his ego was almost very neurotic, and he was almost committing suicide, or like that, and depressed, wah. But then, something is watching him, you know? Then, this one. Immediately he jumped from here to here. Then the world changed completely. The world is so peaceful, so luminous, so shining. So he sat down on the bench of a park in London. He enjoyed for many days, like that. yeah, of course, you know. But the point is, problem is, you know, like these teachers are so wonderful. But still, I feel their teaching has an unclear point, you know. So everything they say is perfect, so attractive, you know. But problem is, people feel, yes, so attracted, but something is not clear. Something is not clear. So what is not clear? I read, and the second one is of course Eckhart Tolle, you know, Eckhart Tolle. First one is of course Thich Nhat Hanh, you know. And I checked the writing of Eckhart, you know. And he described this like ego, or thinking mind, and this like he used the word presence, or space, or like that, you know. It's good, but then of course awareness, you know. But I checked his writings, you know, and I found what is not clear, you know. I exactly understand. I can exactly understand what he wanna say, and his description of this dimension is perfect, and it's true, and he didn't say any tell a lie, of course, you know. But something is not clear, and Thich Nhat Hanh was saying. Thich Nhat Hanh uses more simple word to describe this present moment, wonderful moment. You know, so beautiful, you know, so beautiful. But something is not clear. What's that? Then, especially Eckhart, he used the word thinking and awareness like that, you know. Then, but seems like thinking is here, is awareness here. Something like that, you know. This relationship between thinking and awareness is not exactly clear. I very carefully checked his writing, you know. So, then probably he is so popular among special Western people, neurotic Western people, like that, you know. So then, what should I add? I think, you know, this relationship between thinking and awareness, we can clarify it. We can clarify it, you know. So, like, then my Zen teacher is my Kosho Uchiyama, you know. And he's almost a genius. Like, he's not ordinary Japanese Zen priest. Ordinary Japanese Zen priests are usually taking care of their supporters by doing lots of ceremony or like that, you know. But Uchiyama Roshi didn't do that. He just concentrated on only sitting and like that, you know. Then he had a very good teacher. His name is Sawaki Roshi. So Sawaki Roshi and Uchiyama Roshi, two great masters in modern Japan. Just remember two names, you know. So then Especially Saki Roshi is a very traditional Japanese Zen master. So if you imagine Zen master, then Saki Roshi is very something like that, as you just imagine, you know, very strict, you know, you just sit, you know, you don't move, or something like that, you know, like it's just shout, you know, then people just sit like that, you know. But Uchiyama Roshi is more like, he studied Western philosophy in university, especially Kant, you know, like that. So he is more intellectual, like he has more modern mind, you know. So that's why maybe you can, he is more approachable, you know. So then he practice in Kyoto, you know. Then finally he discovered, you know, like there are two kinds of self. You know, like of course, as Eckhart says, on thinking and awareness. Yes, Eckhart, he knows very well about thinking and awareness. They are totally different. But as I complained, the relationship these two are not so clear. Yeah. Then, then my Zen teacher, Kosho Uchiyama, Uchiyama Roshi. Roshi is literally means old teacher, but we respect, you know, respectable teacher, you know. So that's why if you call Japanese Zen teacher such and such a Roshi, you know, like in Tibet, such and such a Rinpoche, you know, Myanmar, such and such a Seato. In Thailand, such and such a Achan, you know, like that. You know? So, then Uchiyama Roshi described two kinds of mind, two kinds of self. One is, of course, like a thinking mind. And another is, of course, awareness, you know, awareness. But then problem is, what kind of relationship is this, you know? Then he described, you know, this world, movie theater screen, that just a rectangular world, you know? Okay, so here, everybody exists. Michelle exists, you know, I exist, Lia exists, like such. And each person has its own thinking mind. And each own emotion, and each own body, like that. Then we think this is Michelle, this is me, or this is Rie, or like that, you know? Then, but this awareness doesn't exist here in this Michelle, in this me, in this Rie, like that. It's not like a here, thinking mind, and this is awareness. No, it's not like that. That's why we don't improve thinking mind and make it less disliking, less liking. Then thinking mind becomes more like a mindful awareness. It's not like that, okay? So then where does awareness exist? Outside. Okay, this is a world, rectangular world. You can see like a exactly movie theater, you know, screen is a rectangular, right? So in this rectangular world, everybody exists. You know, here, almost 20 people exist, right? So 20 people exist. And one of the 20 is me. It's you, you know, like that. Then each person has its own thinking and emotion like that. But awareness doesn't exist here, you know? awareness exists outside of this rectangular world. Do you understand? That's why awareness doesn't have liking and disliking. As long as you stay in this world, of course something good, something bad for you. You really have to judge, oh, this is good for me, this is bad for me, you know. Always you really have to judge. Okay, then something good, maybe you want it. Something bad, you hate it. You try to escape from it. And you have to do it to survive, to live in this world. Okay? So that's why, as I said, it's impossible to eradicate liking and disliking. Because liking and disliking is necessary for you to survive, right? Without liking and disliking, how can you judge? Because you have liking and disliking, that's why you can judge the world, you know? So, then of course, you know, liking and disliking are the biggest cause of your suffering. It's true. It's true. But at the same time, you cannot eradicate, or you should not eradicate, because you need it to survive in this world. Okay? Then what's mindfulness? What's the vipassana? We have to observe things objectively, objective as it is. It means we like without liking or disliking. Can we do that? Never. Never we can. But we can do it from outside. From outside. Because already we are outside of this world. That's why we can see things like with God's point of view, you know? I think your ancestors talk about these kind of things, you know? It's not human beings' eyes, but God's eyes, you know? So, with our human beings' eyes, we judge everything. It's good for me, good, bad for me. And we necessary it. Otherwise, we cannot survive. That's why. That's why we cannot avoid liking and disliking. You know? But you are not. Okay, as I said, this rectangle world, okay, there are 20 people, and one person, oh, this is Michelle, this is Rie, or this is whatever. This is me, or like that. Then, Michelle is, this is just whole Michelle, you know? Until now, we thought so. Michelle is just like this. Rie is just like this. You is just like this, you know? Actually, not. Not. You know? Kosho Uchiyama Roshi, he did sitting again and again and again, you know. Then he, of course, he was very neurotic, you know, when he was young, you know. He was young intellectual, Japanese young intellectual, the same as Western or Indian young intellectual also, you know, very neurotic, you know, thinking too much, like that. So then he suffered a lot. And he, of course, tried to improve this crazy me, crazy thinking mind, like that, by thinking, you know. But eventually he discovered something which is beyond this thinking mind. Something beyond. You know? Then something beyond this, then everything is perfect. So what does it mean? It means we are in this rectangular world, you know. Yes, this is me, this is Michelle, this is Rie, and this is me, or this is you, or like that. We are living like that, you know. Yes, it's true, you know. But it's not the end of the story. The story doesn't end. Why? Because this is like 20 people, you know? And this is you, this is you, this is that, you know? But this is not the end of the story. End of the story is, Michelle is like this, but at the time, Michelle exists outside of this world. You know? You exist. You think you are like this. But this is not just you. This is you. Yeah, it's true. This you have a physical body and thinking mind, emotion, and career and birthday or like that, weight and height or like that. You know. Yes, it's true. But this is not end of the story. But at the same time, you are beyond this world. Beyond this world. You know? Then, Uchiyama Roshi described this one, that this rectangular world, and outside of it. So it means you are double structure. This is Michelle, and Michelle also outside, you know, like that. So, by sitting, we are just seeing our thinking mind. But who is watching thinking mind? Who is watching your body? Who is watching your breath? And you already did anapanasati, and you failed, right? Completely. You could not observe your breathing at all. Why? Because your thinking mind is just monkey mind. Monkey. You know? So, can monkey stay at one place? Of course not, you know. Just look at monkey, you know. We saw lots of monkeys when we came to Buddha Pada. Yeah? So monkey was just jumping around, you know. So jumping around, you know. So your mind was jumping around. So, of course your mind cannot stay at in-breath, out-breath. Of course it's impossible. Then what was it? Then you should grab the monkey's neck like this, and you should stay here. This is anapanasati? No. But some people think like that. You know, some people just grab, you know, their neck, you know, and you should stay here, you should watch breath like this, you know. Then what's happened? Oh, terrible. Because I stayed in one meditation monastery in Myanmar, you know, over there at introductory meditation is anapanasati, you know. So that's why everyone was supposed to do anapanasati at the beginning, you know. Then people's mind is, of course, monkey mind, you know. The people's mind is just going around. So that's why, you know, they just grab like that, like that, you know. Then what's happened? Oh, tragedy, you know. Then maybe 3 months is long, it's a limit, you know? If you do this kind of thing 3 months, just give up. And they say, oh, I'm not good at meditation, you know, something like that, you know. But then, if you are not good at meditation as a Buddhist monk, what will you do, you know? Do you know what they are going to do? Study. Study. Mm. They just give up meditation and then just study. And then translate. Translate meditation books, you know. Ironical, you know. So if you see, you know, just at the bookstores, you see some like a translation of Myanmar's teachers, English translation by such and such a Western monk or like that, you know, then you think, oh, he knows very well. No, he doesn't know it, you know. Yeah, because he failed in meditation, that's why he was translating, you know. Ironical. Because I was there. I knew this kind of people, you know. That's why. But of course you don't know, right? But you just pick up books, you know, English translation of Myanmar teachers, you know, by Western monk like such and such, you know. I'm sorry. I saw a little bit too much. So that's why. Why? But I think, you know, I just want to change the whole situation. Because this Western monk also victim of very big misunderstanding. You know? Like a thinking mind, awareness mind, exists in a one dimension. That's why if we improve this one, if we can change this one, it will become awareness. It's not like that. Okay? So, point is, Uchiyama Roshi, by doing Shikantaza. Shikantaza means just sitting many years. Then finally he found, yes, this is me. This is thinking mind, you know, thinking mind. But this is not all. This is not the end of the story. But totally different thing exist. Not here, not next to thinking mind. But this one, outside of the world, you know. So here in this world, in this room, 20 people, and there are each person, and this, that's it. But Michelle is not one of the 20 like this. She has a body, thinking mind, emotion, but at the same time, we are outside of this world. You know? So, from the beginning, double structure. It's not like some kind of effort, then we can make this. It's not like that. From the beginning, everybody is like that. Everybody. Please understand. You know? Not only enlightened teachers are like that. Enlightened teachers, they just simply know this one. That's it. This is the only difference between you and enlightened teachers. You know? There's no difference between you and teacher. You know? Okay? So, because enlightened master, they exactly know this. Of course, knowing this makes big difference. Big difference. You understand, right? So, but this double structure is the same for everybody. Enlightened teacher and you, no difference. Knowing it or does know it, make also big difference, but the double structure itself is no difference. Okay? So then, Uchiyama Roshi discovered this double structure. Well, he does use the word double structure. Double structure, I use it, you know. but he said, we are perfect in this dimension. Here, we are still very weak person, lots of defilement. Because we cannot avoid defilement because to live in this world, we have to dislike, we have to dislike, you know. So this person is hopeless, you know. Defilement is deeply rooted in us, you know. But you, as a here, then perfect. Then you are free from any kind of defilement. You are free from any kind of liking and disliking, like that. So, Mahayana Buddhism they are talking about this, you know, like using lots of metaphors. You are completely full of defilement, no hope, but at the same time you are saved completely by Amitabha Buddha, or like that. Or Zen teacher says, you cannot, you cannot change yourself. A brick. A brick and doing like this, that you cannot make a mirror like that. So you cannot change yourself. But at the same time, you are already perfect, free from any kind of defilement. That's why you don't have to purify yourself. You don't have to wash your mind. Why? Because you are from the beginning completely pure. No dust. Like that. But problem is, yes, enlightened Zen teachers, they clearly experienced this. But they could not give to the people how to go there, you know? Then people, they just told them about just sit. if you just sit, you know, do meditation, what happened to you? You just sit and just thinking about like that, you know? And trying to observe breathing, but your mind is just going on like that, you know? So, this is what we have been doing these 2,000 years. 2,000 years. Like that. You know? So, point is, then even modern teachers, like Eckhart, you know, or Thich Nhat Hanh, they know very well about this one. But unfortunately, very essential point is not clear. You know, I'm not criticizing them. They did a perfect job. But still, this structure is not clear. I mean, thinking and awareness. Okay? So, thinking exists in this world. Awareness exists outside of the world. So, then, because it's totally different dimension, so that's why there is no direct path. No direct path. You really have to jump it. You really have to jump it. Okay? So, for this jumping, what do you need? Just unconditional surrender. Unconditional surrender. What mean surrender? Because you, as this, has no hope. No hope. Literally no hope. You cannot do anything. You cannot improve this one. If you try improve this, it does not work. Already you did it, right? So, liking and disliking, you know, and just sitting, you know, I'm just sitting for the sake of sitting, you know. Many them, people are doing like that, you know. But I'm doing for the sake of sitting, but you are doing something like that. So, a person, just as this, of course, as a secular world, looking for something like that. And then he becomes like a little bit spiritual and just do vipassana course like that, you know. Then just try to overcome liking and disliking or like that, you know. But nothing works. If you stay in this world, or if you look at you as just like this, but if you really understand you are not like this, yes, you are, of course, in one sense like this, but at the same time, you exist outside of this world as awareness. Awareness. Then you really have to experience this awareness, and it's possible. So, for this, you really have to clearly, second day, I talked about map. Map means a whole structure, you know. So even Eckhart Tolle, this map is lacking. That's why thinking and awareness not clear, you know. Yeah, then I think, as far as I know, this Kosho Chema Roshi shows this map very clearly. You know, so you are you in this world like this, but at the same time you exist like that. Okay? Then all Mahayana Buddhist teaching, well, of course Tibetan teaching also, you know, and Jesus teachings over your ancestors, you know, Upanishad, like that. They are speaking only this. And Eckhart Tolle also, of course, Thich Nhat Hanh always says same thing, you know. So that's why I could offer some, just a whole map, whole structure, okay? Then method, like unconditional surrender method, you know, unconditional surrender method. Then, at that time, you let your thinking mind go, then come back to your body by doing four elements meditation. Then, little by little, you are entering into this another dimension, you know, dimension X. Then dimension X, one of the characteristics is love or compassion, you know. In Christianity, they call it agape, you know. So then that's why by doing compassion meditation, you can go deeper and deeper and deeper in this another dimension, dimension X. Then over there, it's awareness. It's not thinking anymore. Then with the thinking, you completely failed in Anapanasati, you know? But with awareness, finally you can observe your breathing constantly, you know? Because it's not thinking mind, but it's awareness, which is aware of your breath. Like that. You know, so that's why I offered in these 5 days the whole map. You know, you and your true self. So you are double standard, double structured from the beginning. Then how to jump, how to go there? You cannot go there directly by your effort. So first, you really become desperate. I cannot do anything as a person like this. Then just give up. Unconditional surrender. At that time, this dimension will appear itself. Please believe me, you know, to everybody. If you really do unconditional surrender, you know, I'm teaching these kind of things in Japan also, of course, you know. Then many people complain, oh, I cannot jump, you know, I cannot jump, you know. But is it true? Can you cannot jump? Or you don't want to jump? It's a big difference, you know. Maybe I have a strong doubt, you know. Maybe this person, maybe he doesn't want to jump. You know, but like he's intellectual, you know, and he got lots of reward from his intellectual ability, you know. But that's why he cannot let go of his thinking mind. But at the same time, he's practicing, you know, because he knows he is suffering, you know. So, but point is, he knows he is suffering, but he can't let go of the fundamental cause of his suffering. You know, as a therapist, you see that everywhere like that, right? People know their suffering, but and then there is a cause of suffering, but people can't let go of this cause of suffering. Then continuously people suffer. Then you advised, this is the cause of your suffering. Let it go. But people refuse. Why? Because this is their identity. Identity of their pride. Pride or like something like that. That's why they can't let it go. You know? So that's why my method is unconditional surrender method. You know? So that's why you need a whole map. And then how to jump, it's an unconditional surrender. Then after that, yes, then you feel something else exists. You know, then you can trust it. Trust means taking refuge. You know, taking refuge. Why you can take refuge? Because you trust it. If you cannot trust, you can never trust it. You know? Okay. Then, and just do meditation method, which I offered, you know? Four elements meditation, compassion meditation, and anapanasati. You know? So, all meditation, by doing all meditation, slowly, naturally, you can go to different dimension, and then staying in this dimension, you can deepen, you know, your experience in this different dimension by doing, exploring your subtle body and cultivating compassion, metta and karuna, and cultivating mindfulness of living, like that. You know? So then, you are going back home tomorrow, you know, but don't worry, you know, you learned already enough, you know. So just have a confidence, you know. You are from the beginning double structure, okay? Then, but easily you might forget. You know? You might forget. If, when you arrive at Mumbai, you know, you forget. Mumbai airport, you already forget, you know. Something like that, you know. Then, that's why life from tomorrow is very important for you. Okay? So, please get up early. Please get up early. So, to get up early, you have to go to bed early, previous night, you know. Then, please do at least 30 minutes meditation and yoga. You know, yoga and meditation. Maybe yoga first and meditation, you know. If you do yoga and meditation in the morning, it will give a very good influence to the rest of the day, you know. Then, every day like this, then once a week maybe it's better to have some kind of meeting. Real meeting, if it's difficult, maybe Michelle is offering online meeting or like that, you know. Okay, so in Mumbai, like a real meeting, you know, but yeah, and also online, you know. So it's better to have this kind of meeting, real meeting and online meeting. And once in a while, you know, a few times a year, just come to this kind of real retreat, spend 5 days like that, you know. Then little by little, you can leave. Like that. Okay, so question answer. Yes.
One question. I'm just wondering about the relationship of attention through thinking and like that as also a tool to help people jump to awareness. You have given this analogy some years ago about how when you are in a plane and it's turbulent and after some time you suddenly jump and then there's a blue sky.
Yeah.
So, in the initial stages of the practice, is it helpful not to improve thinking, because thinking cannot be controlled, but to be able to strengthen attention a little bit?
Of course.
In the initial stages?
Of course.
And then jump through?
Of course.
Then the jump. Yeah. Is this correct?
Yes, of course. That's why mindful living is extremely important, you know? So anyway, you have to do many things in your life, starting from brushing your teeth, or you know, taking a bath, or walking, you know. So, and of course, eating and drinking tea. So anyway, you are drinking tea, you know. So why don't you drink tea mindfully, you know? It's not like you know, just checking, drinking, not like that, you know. But you just drink tea. And you just brush your teeth. You just go to the bathroom. You know? And you just walk. Like that. You know, if you have to go to walk to your school or your company, then anyway, you have to walk. Then, but you can walk mindfully. Then, you are still commuting, but you are doing walking meditation also. You know, so that's why I suggested to get up early, but at the same time, of course, please have this kind of mindful living habit, you know, is extremely important. Yes. Okay, yes.
In morning meditation.
Yeah, like if you have only 30 minutes, it's too much. You know, if you have only 30 minutes, just anapanasati is enough. You know? So today, this morning, I recorded, you know? So if you want to do like four elements or compassion meditation, it's almost 40 minutes, you know.
So,
yeah. I recorded this one, you know. So you just see this 40 minutes part, you know, like that. Then when you have a time, you know. So it depends on how much time you have. You know, if you have plenty of time, then you can watch this video and just follow it, you know. But if you don't have a time, then 30 minutes just by paying attention to your breath, that's enough. Yes. It's depending on your situation. Yes. Yes. So practically speaking, you know, Anapanasati, first you have to fight with your monkey mind. Of course it's true, you know. So then your monkey just going somewhere, so just bring back, you know. You have to do it. Yes, of course, you know. So this kind of fighting, you need it. But my point is, many people think this fighting is anapanasati. No, you have not studied anapanasati. No, it's just preparation for anapanasati, you know. So then, little by little, if you bring your monkey again and again and again, then little by little, you'll be able to see you are breathing constantly, but still there might be some kind of tension. Why? Because still maybe your thinking mind is still there, so your thinking mind is watching your breath, you know. Then little by little your thinking mind part is dropping, you know, and then you are not watching, but your breath is just there. Breath doesn't go anywhere else. Like this. But it's very relaxed, you know. So you are aware of your breath, but not forcefully, like that. So my point is, you cannot go to this kind of stage immediately. First, you have to fight a lot with your monkey mind. But fighting with monkey mind is not yet anapanasati, you know. So then, little by little, you know this thinking mind, like a characteristic of your thinking mind, and then meditation is not fighting against it, but meditation is just jumping from this dimension to that dimension, you know. Then how it happens, we don't know, you know. But the point is, as long as you believe or you trust this dimension X, and then you practice diligently, then, and if you really want to jump, then it's possible. But as I said, many people say, especially my Japanese students, says, I cannot jump, but maybe not. It's not a matter of ability, but it's a matter of wanting. You really want to jump from A to B, maybe you want to just stay in dimension A because you cannot let go of your thinking mind. Something like that. You know? So please check this one carefully. Okay, maybe last question. Yes, yes, yes.
In Tibetan Buddhism, we are taught to meditate till the state releases, to the sunyata emptiness. Is that emptiness extended?
Of course. Like, not only Tibetan Buddhism, you know, and Theravada Buddhism also, sunyata, nothing exists, you know. But the point is, because I got perfect confidence about this is because of that, you know. So, when I was in Myanmar, I practiced a very orthodox Theravada method, you know, samatha and vipassana. You know, and the final stage is exactly as she said, is a sunyata. You know, nothing is arising, falling, you know. So just empty. But then it becomes, we become unconscious? No. Actually, no. You know, because we can observe sunyata state, sunyata. So what is observing sunyata? Obviously, it's not thinking mind, because thinking mind is already gone, you know. So, something which is not thinking mind is watching sunyata stage, you know. So, that's why, you know, if you want to practice like a Theravada, very complicated, like, it's okay, but if you want to do, please go to Myanmar, you know, then you can do like this, and you can finally reach sunyata emptiness, you know? Then you found something is watching emptiness, sunyata, you know? Then this something is this dimension X, you know? So dimension X can watch this sunyata stage, but not only, of course, sunyata, but all other things, you know. Yes, okay, this is the last, okay. I don't get it. What?
Like, to do puja and pray to the deities. Because we have been doing that since childhood in our traditional Buddhism. That is important. But she got confused.
Yeah, because
they don't.
No. As I said, you know, like this Japanese, like a Pure Land Buddhism, you know, they say, you know, we are hopeless, but at the same time, we are saved by Amitabha Buddha, you know? Amitabha Buddha means, measureless light. So what is measureless light? It's a, we see measureless light in this dimension X. So Amitabha Buddha is a symbol of this dimension X, you know? But it's very difficult to imagine it. That's why in Buddhism, they have been using lots of symbol, you know? Like Amitabha Buddha is actually like look like a Buddha, you know, like look like a human being, you know. But of course, real Amitabha Buddha is not like that. Amitabha Buddha is just a measureless light. That's it. But measureless light, we cannot imagine measureless light, you know. That's why we created Amitabha Buddha like this, you know. So same thing, you know. Dimension X. Very difficult to imagine it. So that's why teachers, they created some kind of very concrete deity like that. Then just offering it is a little by little you become familiar with this, you know. So and this is just a skillful means. So eventually Amitabha Buddha or deity You know, just like a Tibetan Buddhism, very clear. You know, you just visualize very complicated things. You know, then what's happened? These very complicated things will become empty, finally. You know? So emptiness and this form, form is emptiness, emptiness is form. That's why, like a teachers, use this form very skillfully, but don't have attachment because this form becomes empty, like that. So in Buddhism, we are using this form very skillfully. Then that's why we set up lots of statues or paintings like that. But don't misunderstand. Everything finally return to the emptiness. That's it. But to feel emptiness a little difficult, that's why we use lots of images like that. But Tibetan Buddhism also, all these things return to the final emptiness. That's it. Okay, anyway, let's finish. Okay, thank you for joining us. You know, but we'll continue until 4 o'clock, you know. Then 4 o'clock, let's have a closing ceremony. Okay? Okay, let's finish. Okay, then please have a mindful tea ceremony. Okay, just listen.